from the Nant Rhys Bothy in the Eland Valley. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, off the back of Tadej Pogačar's frankly crazy win at Milano San Remo, we are bringing that subject up again. Is he now the greatest of all time?
We're making the argument for that. Plus, an increase in driver license suspensions in Japan because of drink riding, a heap of brand new tech releases, some good, some bad, great news in two of the world's most famous cities, oh, and the attempted murder of Alejandro Valverde. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that you can now buy a road bike to match your Bugatti.
Nice.
So Factor have collaborated with the Italian hypercar manufacturer to create a very limited edition of their one aero bike.
Yeah, it's a bike that has divided opinion here at GCN Megabase.
Yeah.
Some say it is ugly. I have to say, I think it's as cool as mustard. And what I particularly like, other than it being, well, bonkers, is that it's actually not the standard Factor 1 with a fancy paint job. This one has actually been altered to make it faster and UCI illegal.
Oh, you really like it, Si, don't you?
I think it's cool.
You could have one. You've just got to save up 26,000 euros.
Or.
Right, we also learned this week that while Si isn't fast enough to get a gravel fastest known time, Scottish cyclocross superstar Cameron Mason is not only fast enough, he doesn't even need a gravel bike. He did his on his Canyon Air Road.
Yeah, I've got to say, I absolutely love that he has done that. I've always been a big advocate for riding off-road on road bikes. In fact, there is a little-known GCN video from 2013, I believe, on this very subject. Mm. I'm sure he watched that for information, Dan.
Oh, he must have watched that before he did his attempt. Right, now we need to talk about Milano.
See, he'd have been 10, probably, wouldn't he, when that video came out?
I think you can watch YouTube at 10.
Well, yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's the start of his sledging career. Right, let's talk about Milano San Remo from Saturday then. So the classic Italian men's and women's one-day races. The former, notable for being 300 kilometres long, both took place on Saturday.
Yeah, now I say it every year.
You do.
It is the best race on the calendar. 6 hours of nothing, yes, but you know nothing's going to happen, so you don't need to watch it. Followed by what is, I think, guaranteed to be the most exciting 45 minutes of bike racing ever. And this year in particular did not disappoint.
So in the women's race, a group escaped over the final climb, right at the top of it actually, of the Poggio, where I was watching, incidentally, live on the roadside.
All right for some, innit?
Lotta Kopecky then ended up winning the sprint for SD Works. And in the men's race, Tadej Pogačar claimed an historic and desperately wanted victory.
Yeah, to cut a long story short, it is now time to ask the question again. Is Pogačar the greatest cyclist ever?
Well, for context, back in March of 2024, a couple of years ago, Tadej Pogačar gave a quote to the press in which he said he wanted to be the best cyclist ever. At the time, he'd just won 3 stages and the overall title at the Vuelta a Catalunya by almost 4 minutes, bringing his career tally of victories up to 69 at that point. I wouldn't say we laughed at him at the time when he gave that quote, but it did seem, despite his obvious talent, a bit naive, maybe perhaps fanciful, for him to think that he could ever come close to matching Eddy Merckx or Marianne Vos.
Almost exactly 2 years later, Pogačar has added a further 51 wins to his palmares, including 3 Grand Tours, 6 Monuments and 2 World Championships.
And so all of a sudden, that stated aim from 2 years ago doesn't look quite so unrealistic.
Well, I mean, you could make quite a compelling argument, and we will, to say that he is already there. Because whilst he hasn't won as much as Merckx, his wins have come at a time where professional cycling is supposedly more competitive than ever.
Or is it? We tend to think that, don't we?
Yeah.
But there's never been a time right now where there's been access to information and it's so freely available, right? Which in theory makes it increasingly difficult to find an advantage over your competitors. That goes for training, for nutrition, equipment, etc. However, look back through the recent wins at the biggest races and really 3 riders stand out above everybody else.
Yeah, so the last monument that was won by a rider who isn't Pogačar or Mathieu van der Poel was Jasper Philipsen. That was at the 2024 Milan-San Remo. Between Pogačar and van der Poel then, they have won 15 of the last 17 monuments.
Yeah, it's not a dissimilar story when it comes to the Grand Tours. So the last time a Grand Tour in which Pogacar or Vingegaard started and they didn't win was the 2023 Vuelta, won by Sepp Kuss. The last time both of them started a Grand Tour and neither of them won was never. It's never happened.
That's crazy, yeah. Isn't it? Now, back to Pogacar, though. I feel like most of us have forgotten what cycling was like before him. And actually, you could be forgiven for not knowing what cycling was like before him. Some people say that it's now getting boring because of his dominance. Mm-hmm. But what about the Team Sky era, where they had a stranglehold all day in the mountains before Chris Froome attacked a win in the closing kilometres? I mean, that's a simplification of how it was, but it is not far off the truth. And then not long before that, we had 7 years of US Postal throttling the Tour de France in exactly the same way in the name of Lance. Mm.
And it was rare to see any Grand Tour winner competing in the biggest one-day races through those eras, wasn't it? Let's take the Froome era. So he rode 9 monuments during his career. His best result, 36th place at Liège-Bastogne-Liège. Contador rode just 8 monuments, with 9th in Lombardy his best performance. Nairo Quintana, who incidentally has just announced his retirement at the end of this season, also rode 8 monuments and also didn't get better than 9th.
Pogacar, meanwhile, has raced 21 monuments, won 11, and then finished on the podium at over 70% of them. Mm. Merckx was on the podium just 53% of the time in monuments, although he did ride 53 of them.
Is it 53?
Well, apparently, yeah. It's
kind of ridiculous in itself, isn't it, really? Yeah. Never mind the results he got at the end of them. Now, in terms of win rates, Pogacar is now equal second to Merckx. So both him and Roger de Vlaeminck have 11 monuments each, which is 8 short of Merckx's tally. However, Pogacar is tracking behind the Belgian, who was 271 days younger than Pogacar when he won his 11th monument.
Now, in terms of Tour de France, when Pogacar won his 4th title, he was actually a few months younger than Merckx was when he won his 4th. That said, there were 2 years between Merckx's 4th and his 5th wins at the race. So if Poggy wins again this year, he will be ahead by quite some way of Eddie Merckx.
I think he might win this year as well. We'll wait and see.
You never know.
That said, Merckx had won 3 Giro d'Italia by the time he was Pogacar's current age.
Which might make you wonder then why we are arguing that Pogacar can already lay claim to being the best cyclist ever. And it is because of the changes in the sport over the last 5 decades that we alluded to earlier, since Merckx was in his prime. Back then, cycling was almost solely the domain of European riders, wasn't it? Predominantly Belgian, French, Italian, Dutch and Spanish riders. Now it's truly global, with a huge access, again as Dan said, to knowledge and information on how to become the best cyclist you can.
And then further to that, the gap between the champions and the domestiques back in the 60s and 70s was much, much bigger. So back then, it was not uncommon for riders to work over the winter months, often as like drivers, mechanics, labourers, etc., because there just wasn't enough money in the sport of cycling back then for them to earn enough solely through racing their bikes.
Yeah. It wasn't until 2001, you know, that the UCI introduced their minimum wage.
Not that long ago.
So anyway, whatever your view, I think it's hard to argue that it is not harder to win now than it was back then. Roger de Vlaeminck would almost certainly disagree with that.
Yes, he would.
But frankly, I would also disagree if I was Roger de Vlaeminck.
Would you?
Well, okay. I mean, it's not in his interest to say that Pogacar's better.
Yeah, he's getting increasingly moody as he gets older, though, isn't he?
Well, I mean, aren't we all?
Well, yeah, I am, definitely. Anyway, we also thought that perhaps we're just getting a bit over-hysterical after Pogacar's frankly ridiculous Milan-San Remo win on Saturday.
Well, it was hard to imagine that we'd get an even more exciting finale this year than last, but thanks to Pogacar falling off, we did.
Yeah. I mean, to come back from that crash and then to set a record time up the Cipressa.
Bet Merckx didn't get a Strava KOM, did he?
No, not one, I don't think, throughout his entire career. Then to take his first victory at the race, that was genuinely the stuff of legends. I don't say that lightly. I said it on the Racing News show yesterday, but I'm sure that Tom Pidcock, when he's a granddad, will tell his grandkids, I managed to keep up with Pogacar on the Cipressa and Poggio in Milano-San Remo. I mean, I think that is genuinely how good Pogacar is.
What are you going to tell the grandkids, mate? Who did you hang on to?
Well, I'll show them
Strada Bianca?
Yeah, I'll show them that a couple of segments from Strada Bianca where I wasn't that much slower than Pogacar.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. Nice. I mean, I haven't got that. I just come up empty-handed. Were you any good?
No. I used to talk about him, what you can say.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I guess we could ask, do you think that current top riders will in the future talk about the time that they managed to cling onto his wheel? I think they probably will.
Absolutely,
like Pidcock.
Yeah. I think it's a bit like if you're in the Merckx era, just talking about a race that you do with him once upon a time. The other thing worth mentioning and considering is that Pogacar is obviously not done yet. He has hinted that he might never return to San Remo except to buy some focaccia on a training ride.
Do you think he likes focaccia, or do you think he just likes the fact that it rhymes with Pogacar?
I haven't thought this quite. I'll get back to you tomorrow.
I was quite intrigued. Yeah. You know, obviously he likes M&M. Maybe that's the one thing that rhymes with Pogacar.
Focaccia. Yeah, maybe he's going to become a rapper.
M&M could get a few more things to rhyme with Pogacar, wouldn't he?
Probably, yeah. Anyway, should we get back on track talking about Pogacar and his record? So he's going to line up to try and take a record-equalling third Tour of Flanders title in just under 2 weeks from now. Then 1 week after that, he'll be lining up for the second time at Paris-Roubaix.
Now, if he can win both of those, and that's not too big an if, given what he's capable of, he would join Merckx, the aforementioned grumpy Roger de Vlaeminck, and also Rick Van Looy as the fourth rider ever to have won all five monuments. But he would be the first to achieve a grand slam by holding all five concurrently.
Mm. That would be like a new term in cycling, nicked from tennis then, wouldn't it?
Well, there is a grand slam, isn't it? But it's Giro, Tour, Worlds. But a monument grand slam.
Yeah. That'd be amazing, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Now, if he wins those two races, the odds are pretty good that he'd get a calendar Grand Slam as well. There's not been anyone to trouble him at Liège and Lombardy recently, has there?
No, that's more tennis terminology, isn't it? Yeah. A calendar Grand Slam is when you get all of them in 1 year. Now, this is all part, isn't it, for context, Pogacar, of a season this year of races, which kind of looks a little bit like a tick list for him. Because later on, he'll compete at the Tour of Romandie. Not a massive race, you'd think, but it's one that he hasn't won yet. And then the Tour de Suisse as well. That'd be the first time he'd done those two. So as things stand, it would take a brave person to bet against him winning all of them.
Well, I've said this to you off camera before, but I also wonder if there is a possibility that he could win every race that he lines up for this year. Not every stage, obviously, but every race. I mean, there's been talk in the UAE camp this year about his power numbers being better than they've ever seen before. And based on the evidence of the two races that he's done so far this year, there's not really any reason to doubt what they've said.
No. Going back to Milano San Remo, just briefly, like him riding up the Poggio, it kind of looked quite easy. And you thought, like, oh, poor Mathieu van der Poel's on a bad day. He's just got ridden off his wheel. And then when you look at the context, so that was the fastest Pogacar has ever ridden up the first bit of the Poggio.
Yeah.
And he was in the saddle doing, if Velon's data is to be believed, between 800 and 900 watts.
Oh, it was crazy.
Can you imagine doing 900 watts and making it look easy?
No, I can't.
No! Anyway, scary, really, isn't it? Yeah. But over to you guys now. Is it too early to call Pogacar the greatest of all time? Is it a comparison that is frankly impossible to make given the different eras in which Pogacar and Merckx competed? Let us know in the comments section.
Right, before we move on, we wanted to give you a quick reminder that we've got some special prints and T-shirts, actually. Have we not brought them in?
Did you bring it in?
Well, I had them in there earlier. Somebody's nicked them already. Anyway.
Cut! We need to find the T-shirts!
Right, we've found them. The culprits were Alex and Ollie, who filmed in the set of the tech show earlier on, didn't they? Anyway, this is one of the prints. There are four in the collection, A3 and A4 sizes available. They come framed like this. They're available at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. And Si is holding up one of the brand new Classics T-shirts.
22%. That's like your favourite Belgian beer, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. No, even I wouldn't go that strong, Si.
Really?
No. I don't think you can get anything more than about 12 or 13.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite strong still, isn't it? Right. Did you say there are four of these prints? I wasn't listening. I was too busy.
Four prints. Shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com, or hopefully there'll be a QR code on the screen which you can scan, and that'll take you straight through to the part of the shop where you can find the prints and also the T-shirts.
That is cool, though, isn't it? Yeah. I like that.
Thank you very much for your support.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Right, Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with some pretty messed up news, which really jumped out at us last week. A man in Spain is currently being tried for the attempted murder of former world champ and, frankly, racing legend Alejandro Valverde.
If you missed this story first time round in 2022, you can be forgiven because it actually hinges around road violence. The man in question is alleged to have deliberately run over Valverde and another member of their group after an altercation moments before.
Yeah, and if convicted, this guy's looking at 15 years in prison. And I've got to say, I often think about this when I ride. Sounds a bit macabre, isn't it? But A car is such a part of daily life for so many people that I think a lot of people can't even comprehend that it is actually a dangerous weapon, right? But much like a kitchen knife or a baseball bat, in the wrong hands, with the wrong intent, an innocuous household object, essentially, is absolutely lethal.
Yeah.
So, frankly, if this guy is guilty, he absolutely should go to jail.
Oh, he should do, yeah. Be interested to see how that one plays out, won't it? But we know that lots of you have been victims of road violence too, so it's a very important subject, obviously. Some good news now, though, and Paris, which has transformed itself in recent years from a car-choked nightmare to a cycling city, has just had some really important elections.
That's right, because the transformation is largely credited to Anne Hidalgo, the former mayor, but her tenure has come to an end, leaving the future very much in question. But her successor has just been confirmed as Emmanuel Grégoire, who is set to continue, we think, on the same path. And in fact, he even travelled to City Hall after the election results by bike, which is pretty cool, isn't it?
Excellent.
Yes.
And in a similar vein, the New York mayor, Zohran Mamdani, has ended his predecessor's drive to criminalise minor traffic offences of cyclists. Important to note here that this isn't advocating people break the law on bikes, but what was so terrible about the previous situation was that cyclists were the only road users who could get criminal summons for traffic violations.
Yeah, this is bonkers, isn't it? As we understand it, you could run a red light in a 3-ton pickup truck and get a ticket, whereas if you ran the same red light on a bicycle, you could go to court. So Mamdani has said that by ending criminal summons for low-level traffic offences, we're ensuring cyclists and e-bike riders, including those who deliver food and groceries, are treated like all others on the road.
To me, Si, that seems quite fair.
Well, it does, doesn't it? But should it go further? Should there be a proportional system that's related to the potential risk of your mode of transport?
Mm.
If you're driving a 3-ton pickup truck, should you be more responsible?
I'd say so, yeah.
I mean, it does feel like that, right?
That's a subject for debate, that's for sure.
Yes.
Anyway, let us know in the comments section what you think about all of that. Funnily enough, though, in Japan, as mentioned at the top of the show, a recent law change has meant that in 2025, 1,507 people had their driver's licenses suspended because they were caught cycling whilst drunk.
Yeah, so the theory behind this is that these people are therefore more likely to pose a threat to others when they also drive. But that also simply being drunk on a bike increases the risk to pedestrians and warrants apparently a penalty of up to 3 years in prison, which incidentally is the same as if you're caught drink driving. So on the one hand, again, it seems fair to treat people equally, right? But should you be treated equally if the risks posed by your vehicle are vastly different?
Again, get involved in the comment section down below. Right, let's move on from that to some tech now. The mountain bike world is getting a bit of a tizzy about an industry push to bigger 32-inch wheels, but the hype is only building after a 32er scored its first victory last week.
That's right. The winner of Stage 3 of the Cape Epic, which is an 8-day mountain bike stage race, was the pairing of Felix Stelly and Mark Pritson. Stelly was the one who made history, though, by dint of the fact that he was on a Stoll P32 full suspension mountain bike.
Yeah, his teammate wasn't. It's unclear how much of the victory can be attributed to the big wheels. But for cycling trivia nerds, definitely one to remember.
That's right. Write it down. Having lived through the decade, Dan, of debate, going from 26-inch wheels to 29-inch wheels with a gazillion combinations in between, I've got to say, I am not relishing this
you
next
might
step.
Have mentioned this before on the show.
Yes, I might have done. 100%, I do not want a new wheel size, even if it's faster. And while we're talking about mountain biking, it is totally something that people are going to try and start for gravel, aren't they? So well, it's relevant here as well.
It does make sense from an efficiency perspective, doesn't it? Bigger wheels do roll faster, especially over rough terrain. The trade-off, though, is agility. A bigger wheel just aren't as responsive, and so they feel significantly different.
Yeah, I mean, it is a difference people eventually got over to start riding 29 mountain bikes. As I said, I'm not convinced by this.
Yeah, we get the message, Si. I say that a reluctance to adopt new trends is just something that happens as you get old, but then you have inexplicably adopted a trend of getting a haircut like a 17-year-old. So I'm not really sure quite what's going on with you at the moment, but I'm sure we'll find out in due course. I guess getting a bike with bigger wheels is not a sign of a midlife crisis, and maybe that's different to the haircut.
What are you saying, gym bro? Yeah. Just hear what your rippling man boobs have to say about midlife crises, shall we? Sticking with tech for a moment, we spotted this tyre pressure sensor on Kickstarter. Slightly less interesting than rippling man boobs. But anyway, it looked like it was worth a mention.
Automatic pressure sensors like the Quark TireWiz have existed for a while, of course, but this brings the tech to a lower price point.
A much lower price point, yeah. The sensors live inside your tyre, fixed to the rim, and then by sounding, they broadcast real-time pressure data to a head unit or to your phone. Now, to be clear, this is nerdy tech, but there is definitely a use case for it, especially if it's, well, I say only $55 for the pair, but...
It does seem good value, doesn't
it? I mean, that's not bad for a lot of things in cycling, is it?
We should probably say, as always, though, that you should be quite careful when investing in Kickstarters.
True. Mm. Right, more tech news for you now, and our helmet partners HJC have just launched a brand new model called the Bellus 2. I would have one here with us now, but I accidentally took it home. Mm. So apologies. We can instead look at the helmet on my head from last week's video. It's fully ventilated, Dan, made for comfort, they say, focusing on heat management and ventilation at real world speeds rather than 50k an hour of world tour riders.
Which kind of makes sense, doesn't it, for most people. It also minimises sweat runoff and comes with antibacterial pads. You just mentioned you used it on your FKT last week, didn't you, Si?
I did, yeah. And for a sweaty man... I did not sweat.
Oh.
So, yeah. No, it was really good, actually. I liked it.
Maybe you should have tried harder.
I tried quite hard. I thought I looked cool as must. Anyway, we were talking last week about looking at your reflection in the mirror. There weren't many shop windows that I actually went past.
Oh, dear.
But those that I did go past, I made sure I had a look.
At your helmet and at your shoes.
My matching helmet and shoes, yeah. It was great.
Right, moving on. Pirelli have released some new tyres today, actually. The P0 Race TLR SLR. These ones now have some aerodynamic features to make them the most aero tyre that Pirelli have ever tested. They also claim it has the lowest rolling resistance of any of their tyres, courtesy of their new light core casing, whilst also being lighter by 15 grams.
Yeah, which is actually quite a bit, considering that the previous model was already very light. Yeah. Lidl Trek and Alpecin will be using the new version in most races, barring the cobbled classics, where we'll be using the previous fastest tyre, which was the P0 RS. Now, there will be a full video about them on GCN Tech. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Meanwhile, Oco has just released a new wheel set today, basically expanding its road and gravel range. So they've updated their RA and RP wheel sets to feature carbon spokes. Developed in collaboration with the World Tour team that they sponsor, that being Lotto Antimarché and a few pro gravel riders as well, this range features rim depths of 45 up to 80 millimetres.
Yeah, manufactured entirely in the Basque Country.
Yeah.
Aren't they? So they're apparently stiffer and give you better power transfer, plus lower rotational weight, because they have reduced the number of spokes.
Yeah.
And they say that they've saved up to 2 watts at higher speeds compared to current models. So that's quite a lot, isn't it?
They look smart, I've got to say, those wheels. Right, some pro cycling news now, which we did briefly mention earlier on, and that is that Nairo Quintana has announced that this will be his final year as a professional rider. Now 36 years old, he had 51 career victories, including the Giro d'Italia and the Vuelta a España. And he also finished on the podium of the Tour de France 3 times during his career.
Yeah, he hasn't won a race since 2022, though,
has
he? And in the meantime, he's also served a suspension after being found with tramadol in his system at the Tour de France that year.
Mm. Yeah, like I said, not won a race since. You know, he actually has more general classification wins in his career than Tadej Pogacar, 20 versus 19.
Really?
Yeah.
God, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably a stat that's not going to last very long, is it?
No. Although Pogacar's not doing a stage race until late April, I think it is.
So at least it's got 6 weeks in it,
yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's got a few weeks.
Okay, fair.
Right then, time to announce the very lucky winner of a pair of Vision Metron 60 SL Silver Edition wheels. Congratulations to... Yari Raska.
Oh, congratulations, Yari. It must be a buzz hearing your name read out. To win
a prize like that.
Very cool. Well done, Yari. Hopefully we didn't send him an email beforehand as like a spoiler.
No, I hope not. It'd be great hearing your name read out on a show.
Yeah,
you
would,
won something like
wouldn't
that,
it?
Like you said.
Anyway, there you go. Let us know, Yari, if that came as a pleasant surprise or if it was just confirmation of what you'd already found out in your inbox. Right, First, we need to tell you about the product itself, don't we? Because it is brand new and it was released last Friday.
So this is the Sellitalia Opal White Collection. It's based on their SLR platform. The collection is the SLR 3D Carbon, the Ultralight SLR Carbon, the Comfort Focused SLR Elite and the SLR Advan. All of them have that new opalescent cover with iridescent logos.
Yeah, Alex Payton could not have been more excited when he first saw these.
He likes the white saddle, doesn't he?
He loves a white saddle. And to be fair, I love that he likes a white saddle because his other preference is brown. And I'm not a fan of a brown saddle. Anyway, the prize up for grabs is an SLR 3D Carbon Opal White Saddle, which is just the absolute don, isn't it? So look for the link in the description below and click on that for all the details on how you enter.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Hack forward slash bodge of the week next up. And our first one this week comes in from Just Incredible.
Nice.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Bag hanger for suspension seat post. Justin says, built from scrap aluminium with stainless fasteners, heavy duty, can be installed and removed without removing the seat from the seat post, but it's awkward to do so. Version 1.0 prototype. Feature this project and I'll develop and submit something built upon this platform that I know you'll like. I think he's insinuating that he knows we won't like this one.
Yeah, I mean, At least you know that we're not going to like it. I mean, this is absolute bobbins, isn't it?
It's not sophisticated, is it?
And I feel like it's also solving a problem that people solved a long time ago. That's horrible. I'm really sorry. Nice bag. I like that. That's kind of got like quite a lot of retro cool points to me.
Yeah. Thoughts on the suspension seat post?
Fine. Yeah. Okay, like good. Whatever. But yeah, that's just. Oh, yeah, no, not my cup of tea.
That is just incredible.
I mean, can you imagine if his name is actually Just Incredible? If you were called, like, Mr. and Mrs. Credible, and you're like, what should we call our new baby? Well, Justin.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Or Justine.
Justine Credible, yeah. I mean, that would still work. Anyway, there we go. Yeah, bodge.
I told you last week we've got that new robot vacuum cleaner. We've called it Dustine. Because our friends have got one, they'd already called it Dustin. All right, anyway, moving on. Should have saved that for Nugget.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's terrible. Right, Osaka Phoenix has sent this one in. Fuel tank fill, podium chill.
Oh!
This is the top of a Camelback water bottle used to, basically replace the fuel cap. I say, I couldn't understand the overpowering smell of petrol in my car over the last couple of weeks. I went to fill up and realised I must have lost the fuel cap at the previous fill back in January. Couldn't find one to buy in town, so I raided my bike bottle cupboard for a temporary solution whilst a new one comes from eBay. The Camelback podium bottle cap fitted spookily well, and the advantage is that I can use the bike valve to have a little sip of petrol if the urge takes me. Yeah. That's bizarre, isn't it, that it fits?
Yeah.
Isn't there like a website for things like things that fit?
Is there?
I think so, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, where it's just like stuff that fits that you wouldn't have thought fits and it's just really satisfying. So there you go. Submit it to that as well.
Yeah, have a look for that and you can submit your one there.
Should we just add, by the way, that Osaka Phoenix has said their car's annual mileage is 3,000. The bicycle annual mileage is 10,000. That's cool.
Yeah.
Great stat. That's a hack, isn't it?
I'm going hack for that. Alex Bowling, bicycle basin. A practical obstacle to riding in inclement weather is where do you put your filthy, soaking wet, muddy, snowy even bike when you get home? Those who live in apartments, flats or small homes know all too well the struggle of bringing a sodden bike indoors.
True.
Depending where in the world you live, about $25 Canadian will get a long plastic toboggan to stand your bike in. Sturdy, 8 to 10 centimetres deep, catches all the water, mud, etc. It drips off your bike whilst you get ready after your ride. After cleaning and putting away your bike, carefully dump the water ooze outside or down the toilet. If your wheelbase is too long, get two of them, cut one off, and one off each toboggan, overlay them and seal with Gorilla Tape. It's low profile, means it can easily slide under the bed or the couch when not in use.
You know what? That's blooming ingenious. I don't know how many parts of the world you can buy a toboggan like that. Certainly, I've never seen one here in the UK. But then, as we've talked about in the past, our winters are not quite like some parts of Canada. But that is a proper problem, isn't it? Where you get back and your bike is rank.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's got snow on it, where it's then just going to drip all over your floor. So, yeah, that's amazing. Proper cool.
I don't know if I'd describe it as amazing, but I'm going hack.
Would you not?
Not amazing. No, it's a toboggan that you put your bike on.
Yeah, but it neatly solves a problem.
It does, yeah.
Well, like, what else would you do? Put newspaper down?
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't be as good.
That is, newspapers are botched. That's a hack.
All right.
Also, I quite like the bike. There's quite a lot of cool stuff going on there.
Yeah?
Yeah, very cool. So are you begrudgingly saying there's a hack?
I'm hacking that one.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay, next up, Kyle with Apogee ATP. Any idea what that is?
No. Okay. You read it out, I'll look it up.
Street slang that we might have just accidentally read out, something rude. Anyway, my bike's turn at the groomer. I live in Lenexa, my mistake, Kansas, USA, and my apartment complex, unfortunately, doesn't have a great place to wash bikes. What it does have, though, is a very nice dog grooming room for residents. So my bike has basically become an honorary dog. The bike fits perfectly in the wash tub, which makes it easy to scrub the frame, clean the chain and gears. After that, I move over to the drying station with a powerful dual blower that blasts the water out of the cassette and drivetrain way better than a towel ever could. Once it's dry, I roll the bike back to my apartment for the finishing touches. And before anyone asks, no, I'm not a chain waxer. The dog wash seems progressive enough already. Do you know what, right? If you can get away with that, that's absolutely inspired.
Mm-hmm. There are, yeah, isn't it? We've got quite a few dog washes near us.
Have you? Yeah. Well, you can just turn up.
Yeah. Have you not got any near you?
Not that I know of.
My dog doesn't like it.
I bet it doesn't.
No.
As in, like, you pay someone to wash your dog?
I don't know. No, there's, like, just a place where you can put a couple of coins in and wash your own dog.
No way.
Yeah.
But that, like, in your apartment building, what an absolutely ingenious thing. I mean, I don't know whether it's a hack, because it's just, like, an actual thing, but...
Well, again, a bit like the previous one, it does make it a bit less messy, doesn't it?
The only thing is if you make a muddy, oily mess of the dog grooming station, yeah. I suspect some of the other residents might begin to complain.
Yeah. It looks quite clean there, though, doesn't it?
It does look quite clean. And a very nice bike as well.
It is nice, yeah. Right, I'm going to hack for that as well.
Well, that brings us to the end of Hacker Bodge, in fact.
Well, not quite, because I found out that Apogee ATP is a company whose mission focuses on fostering an environment where athletes can thrive, improve and push boundaries of their potential. So they're after a plug and they've got one.
Oh, man. Kyle with Apogee ATP. There you go.
Right, don't forget you can submit your own hacks and bodges, or those that you see out and about, by going to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Right, it's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second after we've handled the not-so-small matter of the results from last week.
Last week's photo was this one. This is Jensen Plowright on the podium signing on for a stage of Paris-Nice for Alpecin Premier Tech with a snorkel on, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Our winner this week is Tofu Researcher, who put caption, "All this talk about surfing the wheels, I prefer snorkeling the Peloton." Sounds a bit weird.
I was going to say, that does sound like something you might find in the Urban Dictionary as well, doesn't it?
Mm. Did you look that up before you chose that as the winner?
Oh, no, I didn't actually.
No, we probably dropped ourselves in it again.
Well, let's just move swiftly on. Sorry.
Yeah, go easy in the comments.
Do you know what's funny? Looking at that photo, it feels like a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Paris-Nice does, yeah.
Yeah.
The season flies along.
Was that last year? No. And more to the point, we're going to have forgotten Milan-San Remo by Friday.
Yeah, well, we've got Catalunya all week, which has got a stellar lineup of GC riders. Vingegaard, Evenepoel, et al. Plus, we've got E3 Friday, Gent Wevelgem Sunday. It's all kicking off, Simon.
It's all kicking off, isn't it? What a great time of year this is. And the riding's great as well.
Researcher, get in touch on Facebook with your address. We'll send a bottle out to you. This week's photo does come from Milan San Remo, which is only a few days ago. This is Pogačar, obviously, on the podium with Mark Cavendish, previous winner of the race back in 2009. Crikey, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
I will get you started. Hey, listen, don't be winning too many more Tour de France stages, will you?
Funny that they wheeled Cav out to go on the podium when he's only won one.
Well, they had Nibali on there as well, who'd also won one, and they had Carlos Sainz, who hasn't won any.
It's weird, isn't it? Why did they do that?
Just because he's famous.
Who would you get back?
What, to go on the podium?
Well, Eric Zabel would be the logical one. He won a gazillion of them, didn't he?
Merckx won 7.
Yeah, Merckx isn't very well at the minute, though, is he?
Apparently not, we heard the other day.
Yeah, so Merckx might not be able to travel, but Eric Zabel.
Yeah, or Oscar Freire.
Yeah, he's won 3.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Mark's a nice chap, isn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, well, we've digressed again. Put your best captions in the comment section down below, and we will pick a winner next week to win the coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, but first up, a few of the comments underneath last week's videos. Firstly, from underneath last week's show, we had a few belters, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
The first one is from Stephen Boner, is how we decided we pronounce it.
Somebody else, after last time.
Well, yeah, somebody else wrote in with the same surname to confirm that we were correct in that pronunciation.
Absolutely, yeah.
Stephen says, the one I tend to forget is to put the chain back on my bike after refreshing the wax. Even managed to push off down the drive, get myself clipped in whilst coasting and nearly fell over when the cranks just spun once.
I love this. I absolutely think that's hilarious. I can imagine doing it myself, getting out into the, like, into the road and then being like, oh no. Good excuse for being late to a group ride though. It's not one I've had before, forgetting to put my chain on, but no one's going to argue with that one. Channel Bill 2933. Great to hear about GCN coming to Perth in May. This is, if you didn't make it to the end of last week's GCN show, you'll have missed the nugget that Dan and I are heading out to, well, not just Perth actually, but 4 hours south of Perth to the Severn Gravel Race, mm-hmm. which we are super excited about. Anyway, Channel Bill said the forecast is for nighttime temperatures down at 7 to 9 degrees centigrade. So it will be freezing cold.
It's a long-term forecast, isn't it?
Well, also, I kind of want to pull you up on the term freezing cold at 9 degrees centigrade. Anyway, Channel Bill has said, if you could access a pair of Ugg boots, a beanie, and a proper woolen jumper. I don't want to sound Canadian, Dan, but I feel like at this point of the year, I'm fairly well equipped for 7 to 9 degrees.
Yes. Well, it's a maximum of 9 degrees this week where we are, isn't it?
Yes.
And in Belgium where I'm going.
So yes.
We're kind of used to it.
But thanks for the warning.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that.
Andrew Pearlson wrote, you're both very welcome to join one of our weekly group rides when you're in Perth. We'd love to have you along. Well, give us some advice on which group rides to do. Si wants a fast one. I want a slow cafe stop one.
Oh, I want to start and finish in a cafe.
Do you? I want a couple in the middle of the ride too.
Okay. But yeah, no, we're super excited about getting stuck in.
Yep.
So yeah, we got a day in Perth to go for a bicycle ride. Right.
I've just read the next story.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. So this relates to, again, another thing at the end of last week's show where Dan told a story about how someone didn't know that LOL stood for laugh out loud and they thought it was lots of love, which I kind of think it was.
It probably was,
back in the day. Anyway, CEUOTC said, my mother-in-law sent lots of love, brackets lol, to a work friend who was quite seriously ill in hospital. They have made a full recovery, unlike my mother-in-law's dignity.
It's fantastic, that one, isn't it?
Right. Well, what would you do if you're in hospital and you got a message that was like, I'm really sorry to hear you're in hospital, lol.
Yeah, you'll get well soon, lol.
Yeah, anyway.
Shania Aisbury, my boss was admiring his reflection of a shop window to the extent that he cycled into the back of a parked car and broke his arm.
That is genius. And one of the risks of admiring your reflection in shop windows as you cycle past. And then I just, forgive me, I had to put this last comment in.
You happened to stumble upon this one.
Just happened to stumble across this comment that I liked and favourited from Isabella Santos. I think the haircut is looking really nice.
I tell you what, the bots on YouTube are getting ridiculous, aren't they?
Well, as I was reading that out, I'd actually assumed that she meant mine, but potentially she actually means yours.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about
that. Anyway, thank you, Isabel. I appreciate it.
Unusual for me not to think like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The haircut theme does continue, unfortunately, into the comments under another video.
Yeah, all of them recently.
Yeah, funny like, that.
The Milan Sanremo preview show, different audience.
Yeah.
Or slight overlap, but a few people that hadn't seen your haircut, there were comments there as well. But there's some of the French Revolution's video. John Andrews, nice that Si got a white wall haircut to match the bike's tyres.
Yes.
For what it's worth, a teammate of mine had a zap on one of his bikes, bragged about how much better it was, until we had a very wet ride and a hilly race. He got a short in 53 by 14, and we laughed when he got dropped on the first climb.
Yeah, this is Zap is a group set that was made by Mavic in, I think it was 1992 it was released. It was the first ever electronic group set. It was the first time I'd ever used it for this video.
Yeah, you said you were impressed with it.
I was really impressed with it, yeah. Admittedly, it was a short space of time. It was dry. But, you know, clearly it had some issues, which is why I never caught on. But I was really impressed, actually. It was not as crap as I thought it was going to be, put it that way. But anyway, that was a good anecdote. Jeremy Coulot said, as a French, I guess they mean French person. As a French, I must say that I just love your accent, Si.
Crikey.
I had to put that one in.
Yeah. Leo Maduro.
Can you tell it was me that found all the comments this week?
Yeah, I can, yeah. I'm normally in charge of it.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Leo Maduro put, the Peugeot has a lot of resemblance to the frame C4 was produced in Italy a couple of years before. Some aspects, the hidden rear wheel behind the seat tube, the hidden cables that gives it that aerodynamic look. The reason I know is because I own one of those Italian gems purchased in 1992.
So I put this in, Dan, because I had never heard of C4, and when I googled it, by Jove, he's right.
Wow.
Yeah, 1986 that thing was created, and then they did a collab with Bianchi in 87. So yeah, there was I thinking that Peugeot was one of the first monocoque carbon bikes, knowing that Kestrel came out with the first one in the 80s. But yeah, I didn't realise that. No. What a cool looking bike that was too.
They do look nice, don't they?
Very cool, yeah.
Underneath size FKT, Zoe Newsome, third on the leaderboard, huh? So I guess that means you'll have to do it again.
Oh, I know. I mean, the fastest time is really very fast.
Yeah, but you didn't have the best of conditions, did you?
No, but the question is, could I go an hour quicker?
I think you'd be surprised in a change of conditions off-road how much difference that makes.
Oh, thanks, mate.
That's all right, no worries.
I appreciate that. That's weirdly nice of you.
Yeah, it's quite. I mean, it's not an hour off of a 2-hour ride, is it?
No, it was an hour off a nearly 8-hour ride.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually a pleasant one to do, unlike some. Mm. So, never say never.
Okay.
But anyway, there we go. Jonathan Wright said, love to see all the dads racing back from epic rides in order to get back in time for the kids' club drop-off. So, yes. I was more pleased about finishing in under 8 hours because I knew I was going to get home in time for, just for gymnastics, but also, you know, my family couldn't care less what I'd done that day on the bike, but I was a hero for going home with fish and chips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was nice. I got greeted in a way that I feel was appropriate given what I'd done, even though it was purely because I had fish and chips with me.
Lily Broy, poor lamb. No one lent you a mudguard, sorry.
There were a few mudguard comments.
There were, yeah.
You can't ride, like, fast gravel with a mudguard. And also, what's wrong with getting muddy? I don't understand.
Paul Freeman put roughly the same thing. Imagine how much more pleasant it would have been with mudguards.
No more pleasant. I mean, it would not have added 1 ounce of pleasantness to my ride. No. In fact, it probably would have taken it away because they would have rattled and scraped and
been heavier.
Slower.
Caked in mud.
Less aerodynamic. Yeah. No, it was not a day for mudguards or fenders, that one.
Right then, coming up on the channel this week, on Thursday, have people forgotten this one thing about cycling?
Have they? That's a question. And then on Saturday, Alex and I were set a challenge, basically, by Ollie. He should have been there, but he had something better to do that day. To take part in part of a series of kind of legendary events in the UK called the Hard Riders Time Trials. And we thought, well, why not? Let's go head-to-head. So it's what happened when Alex and I set out to race each other at a time trial, which was quite a fun day, actually, all things being equal.
And on Sunday, does weight matter? I've done this recently on a climb. I think the idea is to do this on the flat somehow, is it?
Yes. Well, that's it. So we know, thanks to your experiment, how much weight affects climbing performance. But actually, a lot of people were saying, well, how much does weight affect riding on the flat?
Yeah. Good question.
It is a good question. We kind of assume we know the answer, but...
But do we?
Well, this is it, yeah. So it'll be very interesting. And also, partly motivated because Connor... is obviously taller than average, and everyone always assumes that he's amazing on the flat, and he's never actually really put a number on that either.
Oh, is he not?
Well, no. So, there you go.
Right, well, that brings us to the end of this week's show, which probably means we've got about 17 of you left watching, according to our calculations. So this is normally where 17 of you get a nugget, but I think we've forgotten to come up with one for this week, so sorry to disappoint you.
Well, I mean, should we just briefly pause and try and think of something?
All right, yeah, get back to you in a sec.
Hang on.
Right, we found something. It's actually something we had put in an earlier part of the show, but we just decided it wasn't good enough, but it should be fine for the 17 of you that are left. Right.
Well, it was something that Dan thought was hilarious. And,
I did, yeah.
It frankly needs explaining to me.
So I deleted it.
Go on, explain yourself.
Okay, well, I got a press release from Sudal Quickstep and AG Insurance Sudal, the two World Tour teams, men's and women, saying that they'd got a new coffee sponsor in the form of Costa Coffee. Can't even say it. Costa Coffee, which I think is mainly a UK brand. I don't see many of them out and about in Europe or elsewhere. Anyway, I quite liked the quote in the press release from the team CEO, Jürgen Fore, who put, "Cycling as a sport lived constantly on the move. We travel between races, hotels and training locations almost every day, so having reliable access to great coffee makes a real difference.
Oh.
Costa's ability to deliver that coffee shop taste, wherever you are, fits perfectly with how our teams operate, and we're delighted to welcome them as a partner."
Apparently it's their 28th partner.
Is it?
Yeah, so they've got a few. I want to know how they deliver the coffee shop taste without coffee shops.
They've got those vending machines here, haven't they?
But do you think as a Soudal rider, you've got like a golden token? Yeah, where you can just walk into any shop and just get a free one.
I guess it's part of the deal.
Maybe. The other little nugget, by the way, here in the UK, it's worth noting that the future King of England was on the back of a tandem last week, wasn't he? Which I thought was quite interesting. And what was more interesting is that Dan turned down that very same slot, didn't you?
I did. I couldn't attend. So this is Greg James. It won't mean much to most of you outside of the UK, but he's quite a famous radio presenter. And he did a big ride on a tandem to raise money for Comic Relief, raised over £3 million, I think it was. And as he got to the finish, he was greeted by Prince William, who then got on the back of the tandem briefly, I think. But yeah,
I thought Prince William looked really good on the tandem.
Did you? I didn't see it.
I mean, he was in like casual kit, but he looked like you could sort of like take him looking like he was and stick him in Copenhagen and he'd have looked like every inch the chic cycling prince.
Yeah, he's looking after himself, isn't he, by the looks of it?
He's got a midlife crisis like you as well, is he?
Probably. Right, not just one, but two nuggets for the end of the show. Dan's at eight people now, so let's say goodbye to them.
Yeah, it's a long one. Right, cheers everyone. Thank you. See you next week.